Blog Talk Radio.
Emotional development, relationships, experiences, environment, and genetics all take a hand in molding the adult we are today. Welcome to Double Helix, where we examine the X's and Y's on a show celebrating the human experience, where your true colors are what ties the room together. So get comfortable, because what you're about to hear is the poetry you and we all are made of. But today, in addition to examining the X's and the Y's, we're celebrating the double D's, and I don't mean my curvy figure. What I'm referring to is our two co-hosts, Dexter, the Duke of St. Paul, Dex Bailey, and Daniel Deschino, because it's both of their birthdays next week, and they actually, later this week. I have no chance of what day it is. So it's, I know what day the birthday is, but I'm not going to say. But they share a birthday, which what are the coincidences of, like, having the same birthday when they are the people who I host Double Helix with. I just thought that was so amazing. So yay for the double D's, Dex and Dan, and happy birthday to you both. I don't think we have Dex just yet. Dan, is that you that I see there?
It is. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, yeah. I'm having all kinds of crazy technical things today. I'm not sure. Do you mind if I do one test thing? Tell me if you can hear me. Okay, I guess you could not.
It went,
that's good. I was not
It went totally
I was not,
quiet.
That's awesome, because I was not sure if my mute button was working. So thank you, audience, for the test thing that we had there. I am literally on, like, two different computers and a phone and a crazy headset, and I am, like, all over the place today. But I'm
But you're here.
Celebrating.
I'm glad
and yes, not only do Dex and I, are we born on December 18th, something like 30 years apart, whatever, Dex, I gotcha, you know. But we have double Ds at the same time, too. That's interesting, right?
Right? I know. I just thought it worked out well. The double Ds.
Yeah.
Double helix.
Exactly.
I was like, I got to make some kind of boob joke in there. I just have to.
Yeah, there you go.
And also, I hear the wonderful laugh of our friend. Hello, Laurent.
Good evening. How are you doing? I love the double D, too. Always have. Always have. Hey, Daniel. A pleasure.
Hey, there, hey, guys.
Glad you're here.
Yes, I
am. And hello to Pee-wee, who I see on the board. He's not calling in, but he's there, and he did write for us tonight. So, yay, I don't know if Dex can make it tonight. He's been crazy busy, but I'm going to make him at least listen to the recording. tie him down so he can hear the birthday happiness. So, Dan, since you're here, I'm going to start with the one for you.
Excellent. Let's do it.
Okay. So, this is my little birthday poem for you, if it will load, because I am also having technology loveliness today.
Yeah, I actually have, I got a new work computer. I probably shouldn't be on my work computer on this, but I'm doing it anyway. And it won't connect to the internet, so I have my old work computer here, but just as a backup, I have my personal computer at the same time. So, if I have my phone, so if I disappear, I will jump on some other, you know, technology.
Implement of destruction.
I'm telling you, there'll be poetry somewhere, or a nuclear war will happen. I don't know which one. One of those two things.
I work at the library, and I was supposed to be teaching a grade 3-4 class how to use the internet and how to use the library website. And of course, as they arrive, the internet goes down. So we have no internet for an hour, and I'm like, and instead, here are some books. But it was just like the most awkward thing ever, because I'm like, let's show you how to did we can't. Oh,
yep.
And I went super early to set everything up, so I had like 30 chairs that I put out and tables of stuff, and then I went downstairs for a second and one of my coworkers saw that was all there when it's not usually and cleaned it up. So I got downstairs and there was nothing there. And I'm like, I spent like half an hour putting all that out. What did you do? But it's been one of those days. Here we go. It finally loaded. All right. Deschino dishes us gourmet ideas, charcuterie making enlightenment accessible, catering to both elite minds and casual readers, accentuating wisdom with sweet metaphors, spicing social commentary with mythic allusions, picnic of natural imagery inspired by illustrations. End poem.
That's so sweet. Thank you. You actually wrote a poem. For me, that's like the sweetest thing ever. That's my first birthday present of the year. I will say so. Thank you very much. That's very nice. But I have a question for the author. I've never heard the word charcuterie yet anymore. So you have to explain to me what that word is.
Charcuterie. Okay, so it's like it's basically
meat.
Like snobby crackers and cheese. So it's like when you have like one of those like fancy wooden boards and you have like a whole bunch of like different kinds of like meat and cheese and pickles and
fruit
and stuff. Like the platter of like finger foods. I'm in, like, wine country with a bunch of hipsters, so, like, this is the thing that you do when people come over. You have a charcuterie board.
Ah, excellent. Okay. I think I have heard of that before, but that's beautiful. I like that. And you know, I really appreciate this. This is very, very, very sweet. And I do try to make things accessible. I always try to write in simple words. I don't mind big words. I love learning new words, but I'm a presenter basically for the day. I manage people. I do presentations and trainings and all that stuff. And I try to talk as simply as possible because my whole point is trying to get a point across, right? Trying to actually reach people. And it's hard to do sometimes when, you know, so I like the word accessible. I'm glad that actually came across. But this is very, very sweet, Faziana. I really appreciate it. I wasn't expecting a poem. That's very nice. Let's go to Dex. I mean, to Laurent. Sorry, I forget. I'm already screwing up. It's like 2 minutes into it.
Well, you're excited. You blew out the candle, and, you know, it didn't blow, and you had to do it twice. You didn't get your wish. I understand. All right. It's short, but sweet. You place an emphasis on gourmet ideas that enlighten both the elite and the casual reader. Now, that's not an easy task. Daniel always succeeds wonderfully at it. It's odd how he manages to do so, but he plucks metaphors, he combines them, as you said, with mythic allusions, natural imagery, and self-commentary. I mean, you really gave a very succinct poem that absolutely describes Daniel's writing. Very nice.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I appreciate that. And that's, that makes me happy that what I try to do, it comes across, so... Thank you very much, Faziana and Lauren. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday. How old are you?
I don't go by age. I go by levels. I will be level 55 on Sunday. I will have made it to level 55.
Very nice. Now, is the level different than a year, or is that just a euphemism?
Is that what?
You could have achieved level 55 wisdom in 15 years. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm getting.
I certainly feel like I have. And
well,
maybe not wisdom
so much
as
have,
like.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm old. No, I think that's awesome.
55 is like the middle, though, because physically I feel like I'm about 105, and mentally I feel like I'm 5. So it's like that's the 55 is kind of the middle ground there. That's what that is. So.
That worked.
I don't know. Yeah, it works. But thank you very much. And I'm guessing we have something else coming up next by you.
That's true. I'm doing one for Dexter right away, too. And then I have a song for him later that I was super late getting to fill. So I don't know. If she happens to come online before the end of the show and loads it, then we will also have a musical version. But for now, I'm just going to do the poem. For the Duke, Dex has lyrical dexterity from depravity to depth, nimble wordsmithing, weaving levity into grave topics. He outbars rock stars, teasing poetic memoirs. Rapper, educator, coach, and writer, chooses love, though he's a skilled fighter. Privileged to know the Duke of St. Paul, excitement doubles when he licks the call. End poem.
Excellent job. Who's sweeter than you, Faziana? That's beautiful. Laurent, your thoughts on this one?
Well, I had to laugh when I read Depravity to Depth because it's absolutely true. Dex approaches all subjects with an even-handed manner. Doesn't matter how contentious or relaxed and natural the subject is, he doesn't shy away from it. He does a really nice job in everything that he does. Sometimes he absolutely amazes me with his writing. Other times he lapses into just plain goodness, but then he hits the heights. So nice. Nice poem. Nice poem. You're doing well tonight, Faziana.
Thank you. I mean, I'm basically just fangirling over my co-hosts. So I'm like, yay!
You're lucky to have two handsome men as your co-hosts.
Right?
One who knows it all and one who can do it all.
Which one is which? I got to figure that one out. What I liked about it, the way that you did the way that mine was kind of some of the crazy play on words, which I do often, and I like how Dex's is the rhyming. I don't know if you did that on purpose, but you kind of captured the flow. You know, mine was a little bit more free verse and, like I said, kind of a play about using some crazy words, and his was more melodic and kind of better rhyming. Did you do that on purpose? Because I think that kind of captured both styles.
I did. I was trying to get a little bit of your styles in there. Thank you for noticing.
Very clever. Yeah, very clever. Yeah, and Dex is awesome. He seems like such a great guy. And like you said, really smart, and he has all these different. He's a very musical guy, and it comes out in his poetry, which I absolutely love. I got into poetry because of lyrics. That's what got me into that type, that style, and those are my my favorite poets are musicians. I always quote Neil Peart, Ani DeFranco, John Popper. All those guys are, I think, just very underrated lyricists, and I think that's where some of the best poetry in the world comes from. So yeah. Anyway, great. Yeah, Dex is he really is a rapper, educator, coach, and writer. He really does have like Lauren said, you know, he can do it all. He's got the skills.
He can. Yeah.
He can.
He's probably coaching some kids right now. He does. He's an excellent coach.
Oh, really? What does he coach?
Football and I think wrestling. And then I'm pretty sure music as well. An education assistant, and he does a lot of extracurricular stuff with the kids.
Excellent, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
The next one.
Cool.
We have one by Pee Wee Cusson, and that one is one of the birthday poems. So, Laurent, can I get you to read that, please?
I'd be happy to. Let's refresh and find this poem. A Verbal Contusion by Pee Wee Cusson. Quite perverse, maybe worse are words I choose, but they'll do all the things that a word must do. That's how you know that they come from me, too, and totally not from some poet out in Timbuktu. Here's hoping your day is pleasant all through. An inversion of your average birthday goop, this thing that I'm now writing just for you two, quite absurd, words I use still ring true, used so many times that turn black and blue. In conclusion of the verbal confusion I made for you, gonna sing a thing that works as the Beatles prove. So I'm stepping out of this old brown shoe. Wait, that's the wrong song, but it's still really cool. Do 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 da do da chick chick do 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 da chick chick. They say it's your birthday. It's his birthday too, yeah. They say it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Dex. And D too, yeah. Somebody show me where's the party party. And poem.
Great rhyme, great rhyme. And one of the faux pas I did last time was I realized I commented first every single time. So, Faziana, this one's all you to start off with.
I thought this was really fun. I love that he has the song part in there, the do-do-do-do, chick-chick-chick. And I love how you read that. That was great. I think that this is really fun. He has some fun rhymes and some really cool twists on words. I like the way that he kind of captures the use of absurd words and perverse words and all the things that I think Dex does sneak into things, you know, because like we were saying, he makes everything kind of funny even when it's serious topic. He's really good at tackling serious topics, but he does it in such a way that, like, it's palatable. Like with Dan, we were talking about how you make it accessible. So you tend to use straightforward language when you are talking about, like, deep subjects, and that does make it accessible. And I think with Dex, he makes it emotionally accessible by adding humor to things that are really intense. So you're both accessible in maybe different ways, or maybe in ways that complement each other. And I think Pee-wee has kind of captured that about the writing. And then also the fact that it's connected to music. And then I thought it was cute, the happy birthday Dex and D2, yeah, and I believe you're D2, Dan, because I had originally tried to be subtle so you guys wouldn't see that I was trying to do birthday stuff, so I just said D1 and D2, so you were D2.
Well, yeah, he's kind of DB, right, Dexter Bailey, so he's technically DB, but yeah, I could be D2.
The Duke of St. Paul, Dex. So he has double D's in his name, too. So just double
That's
D's
true.
All around tonight.
That's right. Double D's for everybody.
I mean,
no, this is a lot of fun. That's right. That's right. No, this is fun. Thank you very much, Pee-wee. And I actually like that it's kind of like a – first of all, a verbal contusion is pretty hilarious. I love that line. And I actually wrote one of my only really ranting poems I wrote bashing the song Happy Birthday, which I've always argued is the worst song and greatest song ever written at the same time. The greatest because every single person in the United States knows it and has sung it multiple times, and nobody ever really likes doing it. It's always awkward. That's why I think it's both things. And I always wish that we would just sing other things. But I actually like that he kind of wrote a birthday song. That's what made me happy. And he put Beatles in there, too, which is kind of fun. So. Thanks, Pee-wee. Nice job. And Lauren got to not only read it, but sing it as well, too. And I know he likes
I wish I'd known. Yeah, I wish I'd known I was good at it. The doo-doo-doo was that song. Initially, I didn't. Excuse me. I didn't read ahead that fast, but then I saw, I know this song. Long time. Great incorporation of the Beatles. Clever wordplay. Accessible humor, average birthday goop. I mean, the way he uses words is entertaining and humorous and charming, and that's what exactly a birthday poem should be, I think.
And me being a drummer, that's kind of got a Ringo drum solo in it, so I'll take that as a
very underrated drummer, I always thought.
I love Ringo. I think he's got such a great feel. And, you know, it's funny, a lot of famous people and people you wouldn't think of, like Frank Zappa and other people, loved Ringo's playing. He has a feel. Paul McCartney always said that Ringo sits down on the drums and it's like, he's Ringo. Nobody else can have that. Nobody else has that feel like him, you know, and that's the sign of any good musician, that you sit down on an instrument and the listener immediately knows it's you. So
yeah.
I like Ringo. I think he's great.
Totally. Yeah.
Cool. All right. You're the boss, Faziana, as always.
Okay. I know we've done lots of my stuff, because it's the birthday stuff, and the rest of it we're going to go into snow. I'm throwing all the birthday stuff in the beginning, and Phil was lovely and added my song. So I didn't originally do it as a song. This is from last year. I wrote kind of a parody of this book, which is a parody in itself. So there's this picture book, The Wonky Donkey, and every time the person sees the donkey, they add a new qualifier. And around this time, Dexter kept changing his username and his profile picture, like, at least once a week. He had all these pictures, and he kept changing who he was. He was, like, Duke Nukem Dex Bailey or like whatever. He just kept changing his name and I couldn't keep track of who he was. So I was like, you're like the wonky donkey. And I made a little poem about it. And then our mutual friend Tans sent me a message today and she said, hey, I did a remix of your poem. I hope that's okay. I turned it into a song. So this is Tans's remix of my last year birthday poem.
However you want to serve it as a
Duke. Dexter Bailey. I was reading on AP and I saw Dexter Bailey. He was an artist and he only had 250 poems. He was terrifically prolific. He was a brainy Dexter Bailey. He was an artist. I was reading on AP and I saw Dexter Bailey.
All the hand in molding the immature and all we are.
He was making even serious subjects funny.
That's a joke. Come on.
He was a jokester, Dexter. He was a zany, brainy Dexter Bailey.
That's a joke.
I was reading on AP and I saw Dexter Bailey.
The story is riddled with challenges and changes.
He was writing about his demons.
Like blows from a blacksmith.
Not afraid to remark on the dark.
That's chiseled.
He was a shady, zany, brainy Dexter Bailey. I was reading on AP, and I saw Dexter Bailey.
Yes, that was fun, and it was funny because you guys were actually pretty zany, kooky, spooky, as you were saying on that. That was fun. I like that she had Dex's voice in there, too. It was interesting, and there was a couple times when it was like he would say something, and then you would say the exact same thing back. It was like you guys were talking to each other, so that was fun. That was pretty cool. Right, Laura?
He stole those audio clips from our show because a lot of what he said is usually in the little intro to the show.
Yep.
So she listened to past shows and she took snippets. She's sneaky like that.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, that takes a lot of skill and patience, especially patience to do it. I like the extension of the rhymes as it got longer and longer. Initially, I thought it smacked a little bit of that bit from Revolution by the Beatles, where it is at number nine. I mean, it had that continuous repetition flavor going for it. And it tends to lull you a little bit, and then you listen and you expanded your lines as you went through. It was nicely done.
Thank you.
It was actually probably because I just mentioned Frank Zappa before. It reminded me of the Freak Out album by Frank Zappa from 1982.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, everybody borrows from everybody. That's the name of the game.
That's right, and all of them borrow from Frank. Sorry, I just had to say that.
He's an amazing musician.
Yeah.
He really is. What do you think of that one song? He's got one song that almost made me a little bit, I don't know, Brown Shoes Don't Make It. Remember
that
song?
One
Brown
song
Shoes
that made you a little...
Don't Make It.
Yeah.
You know why. On that one particular song. But that was one of my favorite songs. I adore that. I adore what he does.
I was obsessed with Frank for a while and just all the different changes and the feels that he had and the amazing musicians. The world needs Frank Zappa right now. It's too bad that he died. They need somebody who's going to kind of stick up for, you know, not being politically correct and saying your own things. And I would have loved to seen him in the last 10 political years and what he would have said. It would have been interesting. Anyway, I could talk about Frank for the next 2 hours, so we should probably move on.
Moving on to you.
Yes. So this next one is a carryover from last show. Daniel had discovered this wonderful artist, and she was amazing. I can't say her name. Can you say her name, Dan?
I'm going to screw up the first name, but it's something like Noemia Prada.
Yes.
Noemia?
Okay.
Yep.
Noemia. I keep wanting to call her Naomi, and that's not it, Noemia. So we did poems to her art, but we ran out of time, so we didn't get to do Daniel's poem, which was what started it all, because he did the poem, and then he talked to the artist, and she liked his poem, and then we ended up doing the contest, and she read all the poems, and it was really cool. So, Daniel, we have to make sure that we read yours from that. So please read us your poem.
Sure. Yeah, I was inspired by her on social media, and one in particular where it was a person standing on kind of a little bit of a cliff face, and there was waves crashing and really, really dark skies. So it was about kind of reaching back in the water, and I reached out and just asked her if I could write a poem and post it. So we collaborated a little bit. She posted it on her sites and I on hers, and we just started talking. And then I asked her if we could do a show. And she was even nice enough to send us a SoundCloud kind of talking about herself exclusively for the show last week, so that was fun. Anyway, this is called Ancient Ocean. The ocean speaks with every heartbeat rhythm, a pulse for every wave, peace entwined with ancient tranquility. And when the windless waters gently touch the shore with a simple ocean moon smile, I know something beyond the time of human thought. But it is more, something I cannot explain. There is no anger in the sea. There is no hatred in water. Let the sea flow within me flow free. Let the sea within me flow free. When the sun gives our eyes the occasional daylight rest, and when the colors merge into the purity one of black, and when the ocean and sky pirouette, that's when I feel it. End poem. I'm going to start with you, Faisiana.
I think this is beautiful, and I think it really captures the spirit of her poetry, of her art, her photography, and it has that way of incorporating both the nature and how it connects to the person, because we discovered through her other pictures and through what she said to us that she loves doing nature, especially water, but she always has a person in there to give the context of it, because it's the person experiencing the water that we're experiencing in the photos, and that the ocean speaks with the heartbeat rhythm really makes me feel about the sound of the lapping waves and think about how when you are listening to that sound in person and you're there just kind of soaking it in, it is like your body moves to match the sounds. If it's like a soft sound of the waves, your pulse can change a little bit to kind of like go with that, and you're breathing to the rhythm of the waves that are coming in, and you connect to your environment. So I feel like this gave it that connection, the way that the people are connected to the water. There's no anger in the sea. There is no hatred in water. Let the sea within me flow free. I don't know I completely agree with that, because there are some crazy storms out in the sea and there are some violent fish, but I love the concept of this, that the sea is a peaceful place, and that you can let yourself relax into that. And there is something very relaxing about the sound of water and the way that you can be at peace thinking of yourself as the water. It's one of those things that people do when they meditate, and it's just a beautiful image in my mind. And when I say image, I'm not just talking about visual. I'm imagining, like, the feeling. I have, like, this, like, glowy feeling in my chest that I have if I'm, like, by the water, and I don't know how to describe that. But you bring it to life in your poetry, so I don't have to. I think this is really wonderful, and I love when the ocean and the sky pirouette. That's my favorite part, where they meet and they seem to dance. Laurent, what did you think?
I am hugely impressed with this particular piece. I mean, you absolutely nailed the emotions of this old sailor. He had the sea flowing free within his veins for a lifetime. I mean, your phrasing is it really perfectly captures what's going on. The dance of the ocean and the sky, the tranquility of windless waters who never feel hate, and that exist beyond the time of human thought. I mean, that is really well wrought. And I have to agree with the Fijiana, among all the things in here, which are really, it's hard to pluck one thing out, like, you know, which is your favorite child? No. But the lines, when colors merge into the purity, one of black, and when ocean and sky pirouette, that's when I feel it. And you can just, in your mind's eye, you can see the stars pinwheeling in the vast obelisk of the sky above, reflected in the waters, windless, that ripple gently onto a shore. It's just a perfect capture of a moment and emotion.
Thank you, Laurent and Fijian. I appreciate it. And yeah, I'm glad you said what you did about there's no anger or hatred in the sea, because that's kind of what I was going for. That's why I had something I can't explain beforehand, and you mentioned it too. People go to the ocean and they sit there and you look out and there's just some feeling that you know, almost everybody has, I think, and you don't know what it is. It's just some like wanting to be there. And that's why I kind of put the anger and the hatred. It's. I don't think there's anger and hatred in the sea. I think we take it as that because we're emotional, but the sea is just indifferent. The sea, it's just doing what it's doing. You know.
If I can be bold and just interrupt very briefly, I think when we look at the ocean, we look at the womb of life on Earth, and I think we are tied inextricably to the water as the birthplace of all life on Earth, and the womb containing water. I mean, it's all right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's that's it. That's those first lines. Every heartbeat rhythm. You know, you get that stereotypical of, you know, the pulse, the tides within your veins. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's it, my friend. Cool. All right. Let's definitely move on.
Well, the only thing that makes me sad is you don't show us her picture or link to her picture.
I know, because this other contest was, I put it on another contest that did end up getting bronze, honored for that, because it just, I was looking on there, I was like, oh, this poem would actually go with this contest about the ocean, so I didn't want to add another picture because it was really just about that one contest, so.
All right, that's fair. So we're going to do one more carryover, and then we'll get on to today's topic of the snowman. And the carryover here is from Pam. So I'm going to read this. Pam was having some power issues, so unfortunately couldn't make it today. This is by Pam Ray, Winter Strawberry. Today the air was bitter cold, gray like a grandmother's hair. Snowflakes fell heavy, white saucers to hold teacups. My daughter sat in a green chair, eating strawberries dipped in melted chocolate, bought from the grocery store, lacking the sweetness of fresh-picked, the blaze of a summer comet across the tongue. Strawberries are not like wine. They do not improve with age. They are like love that is kept in a cold, dark place, shriveling into a dull imitation. Still, we cut away the bruises and devour, convincing ourselves this refrigerator truck death lingering on the side of our cheeks is better than no berries at all. End poem.
Well, that was interesting, and that was classic Pam, I think. She's the master of the metaphors. I love that whole last two stanzas. Their stories are not lying. They don't improve with age. They're like love. Kept in a cold, dark place, shriveling into dull imitation, still we cut away the bruises and devour. That's just interesting. So it's also filmed with a dark humor that I always think the Pam has as well, too. But a really interesting take on love and, convincing ourselves this refrigerator truck death lingering on the side of our cheeks is better than no berries at all. So just a really interesting take on that whole thing. And the winter strawberries have kind of frozen and not really the same. And I'm getting it as how love can be, it can be that, right? I see it in so many different couples sometimes where it just gets to be this kind of habit that you're in, and they're with each other because they just can't leave. Not that they don't love each other, but it's just this thing where they're, kind of like just together and just put up with each other. It's really, really interesting. So amazing metaphors in here. Great job, Pam. Yeah, it's really interesting. And I'd love to know what Laurent thinks of this one.
Well, I have to agree with you about Pam. She is a remarkable writer, and she can take just about any angle on life and emotion and create something out of it that's really quite spectacular. I agree again with the phraseology. This refrigerator, this refrigerator truck death lingering on the side of our cheeks is better than no berries at all. To me, this is a very warm piece, but wrought with a bittersweet flavor. And, the answer is in the last line. Sometimes a little love is better than no love at all.
Very, very true. Absolutely. And I think that's true. Faziana, go to you.
I think Pam is brilliant. I like the second line, gray like grandmother's hair. Not just gray, but bringing that to life with that analogy. And then the strawberries not growing, not like wine, not improving with age. But, even though they're just shriveling into a dull imitation, there's still something that, we like about it and trying to convince ourselves that it's better than nothing at all. This is really sad, actually. It's like saying that, the spark has left the relationship. It's kind of shriveled into, living because you're in the habit of doing it, like you said, rather than being excited about the love. So let's, have these strawberries and pretend like it's amazing, and really, it's just not that great. It's a very, very sad piece, and yet worded in such a beautiful way. Like, she's just, it's very vivid. The experience of the strawberries, if you take it at face value, I feel like she described it really well, and yet it's very clearly metaphorical. So she does a really good job at balancing that. And this was in response to the picture, I think, or maybe, no, it wasn't in response to, but she referenced, she chose it because there was a picture of strawberries, chocolate-covered strawberries, or I don't know if they were chocolate-covered. There were strawberries in the art section of what you had given as your prompt, Stan.
Yes, there was. There was... I wish I had given more of the hands. She does a lot of hands, and she talked about that, but there was one with hands that were holding strawberries, so that's where she got that from. Yeah, I believe. Absolutely. And I think we're moving on.
Pee-wee. So I had said before that Pam was having some power issues, and I was referring to her electricity, but he says, nobody says that her power issues, that she's vying for control of Wisconsin.
Oh.
Pam, the new queen of Wisconsin. So yes. we're now doing the contest that I had up, which was snowmen. And I had a whole bunch of different pictures of snowmen having different emotions. And Laurent, would you please read us your interpretation of the snow?
Yes, I'll be happy to. I kind of took the inspiration, well, actually, and this is written a few years back, but you had another contest, how you feel about winter. And I thought that this fit pretty well. It's called Damn the Snow. Dear Mother Nature, you've been naughty again. It's barely November, not even day 10. There's white on the ground, covering grass. I nosed out of the house, dropped flat on my ass. Was it necessary, this discommodious slush? Why is winter so eager in his obstreperous rush? Was autumn so frail, its leaves hanging still, orange and red, already over the hill? Nay, I say you, extend till December, this most glorious autumn, dressed in campfire's ember. Damn the snow, let this nor'easter go, bring back late warmth of the season. My muse to appease, I plead with thee, please, else line's length exceed her permission. End.
Awesome read, Laurent Van Gerwich. I'm reading your whole name on the bottom there. Awesome, awesome. And I love this. And I love this. This is fun. And to me, I talked about this on previous shows. To me, this I forget where you're from, to be honest, but this encapsulates, in my opinion, New England. I talked about this on another show where there was this commercial. I forget what it was about, but it always made me happy because it was saying, here's what people think New England winters are, and they show like this nice little farmhouse in Vermont, like with this nice little snow. Here's what New England really is, and they just saw some guy in this really blowing wintry snow, like scraping his car in the middle of a parking lot. I'm like, yeah, that's winter, and that's kind of the way you're saying it here. And the picture, right, was I'm assuming this is to prompt number one, which is like an angry snowman. And winter can be fun, but there's white on the ground covering grass. I nosed out of the house and dropped flat on my ass. That was pretty funny. And I can't tell you how many hours scraping snow off my driveway and putting salt down and wondering, oh, more melted. I got to put more salt down, you know, and, I like winter. It's fun, but it's also kind of a pain in the ass. And whose fault was it? It's my fault because I live in New England. I could just move to Arizona, right? And never have to deal with it. But I thought this was fun and beautiful. I love that type of a take on winter. So awesome.
Yeah, it was just intended to be a little bit of gentle humor, but it was based on what had happened earlier that morning when I did fall flat on my ass, and so I had to write about that. Oh, and the country of origin is France.
Ah, excellent, excellent. Feliciana.
I thought this was really fun, and it's a nice twist on falling on your ass because you know it happens to the best of us, and I'm the worst of us. I do it all the time. Although I tend to land on my head because I'm just even worse, like that. So I think that this is a good way to take it. You know, you're mad at the snow and at the situation, but you turn it into a really fun poem. I liked, why is winter so eager? And then I like the vocabulary of the, I can't even say it properly, say that word.
Obstreperous.
Yes, thank you.
Obstreperous.
I love that word. To accuse autumn of being, like, so frail, like, how dare it let winter overpower it? When it should still be the one who is reigning. I really enjoy that. And I meant reigning as in, like, you know, monarchy, but also maybe it should be raining and not snowing. So raining, double rain. I accidentally did that. But, yeah, I love your accusation of it being so frail. Extend till December, this most glorious autumn. I always wish autumn could last longer. It seems to go straight from from summer to winter here. I really miss autumn. And dressed in campfire's ember. That is just such a beautiful line. Yeah, this is really fun, and I share your sentiment for basically all of it. So, very well done.
Thank you.
All right, cool. Let's keep going.
Okay. Oh. I had originally copied the link to the next poem, but then I also copied that beautiful word that he used because I wanted to look up the definition.
Oh.
And so that was what I was pasting just now when I shouldn't have been. All right. So let's look at the angry. No, there's no more to the angry one. So we're going to look at the happy snowman. And the first person who wrote to that was Paul Brott. So, Daniel, I'm going to get you to read that one, please.
Yep. Oh, there it is right there. It's The Rasta Snowman by Paul Brott. I'm a Christmas snowman in Jamaica, enjoying every flake that make you yuh. Want to reach up and kiss the moon? Ganking to Christmas Rasta tunes. Don't worry about a thing. Is every little thing going to be all right? It was a cool, lovely, breezy afternoon, keeping things cold now. Don't be rude. Should things get warmer, I be no longer. Jamaican snow don't last, you fool. Pass the ice cubes from the left-hand side. I'm a yo-man. I'm a snowman. I'm a midnight toke man. I sure don't want to melt, no man. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my lovin' from above. End poem. And yes, he says down the bottom, which I did catch them all, actually, song parodies of Bob Marley, Steve Miller, and Musical Youth. So great job. Laurent, you know all those songs. I know you do.
Yeah, unfortunately. You know, I just was thinking the other day, it's hard to find anything new. But it's all right. This is very enjoyable. I like his takes on the Rasta tunes and on the Jamaican music. I like his wording. I like his rhythm, too. I'm a yo man. I'm a snowman. I'm a midnight toke man. I sure don't want to melt. No, man. It's well done. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. He had fun with it. And I like the Jamaican kind of reggae theme that he did. It was all fun. I have a feeling this is where we're going with this tonight of Asiana. No philosophical. I think there's going to be a lot of just kind of fun play around in the snow poems, which is great. That's good. I love it.
You want drama? Turn on the news.
Exactly. Come on. We have fun here. Let's have a good time. It's Christmas. It's all about just having fun. All right. So
right.
What do you think of Asiana?
I thought it was really fun. It was good use of songs. And like multiple songs, so that's a challenge, getting it all in there. Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. I love how he got that all in there. I'm a yeoman, I'm a snowman, I'm a midnight toke man. It just, yeah, he made it work with multiple songs. And I think maybe it's partly because of the hat that the snowman's wearing.
That's it.
I think he got that vibe from this particular snowman. But also just that joyfulness of, like, you know, don't worry about it. Just let it snow. I thought this was really cute.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, right? These get kind of the Rasta hat, but then there's these little puffs of, which I thought were snowballs he was juggling, but maybe that's a smoke of a certain kind up there that he's puffing, and he's awfully happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
Cool.
Good interpretation.
Let's keep jamming, man. What's next?
All right.
In it.
This is Winter the Best by Pindy Prol. As winter creeps in, my soul that arises from within, expecting to be a better winter than before, The bed becomes the best friend, always loved to hug me, keeping me warm forever, never wanting to let me out. The hot coffee that enters the mouth tracks the path within, making the drooping eyes open. Eyes that search for the snowflakes that fall like small feathers from the sky, making a lovely white carpet for the kids to skate and play. The winter jackets jump off the boxes, feeling excited forever, waiting to go into the streets with gloved palms into the pockets, the teeth that chatter all over the way, liking to hold a cigarette to keep the cold away. Ice hockey becomes the favorite play, children loving to slide down the hills using their lovely sledge. New liquor bottles on the bar table love to gulp a few pegs in, which erupt to volcano in the tummy, making the heads to have some fun. Oh, winter, love you always, welcoming you with my extended arms, but miss you as you go away. And Paul.
Excellent read. That was fun. Yeah, Pintaprola, he's a newer guy to me on here. I've been seeing him the last couple of months. I'm becoming a fan of him. He's an interesting style. Laurent, what do you think?
I like this a lot. The language struck me as being very genuine, but not necessarily that of an English speaker by birth. And he is from India. He's got almost 1,000 poems, so he's been around for a while. But, yeah, like you, I haven't run into him before. I like his language towards the end there. New liquor bottles on the bar table, love to gulp a few pegs in, which erupts the volcano in the tummy, making the head to have some fun. I love the way that was worded, almost innocently. You know, I want my head to have some fun, so please, you know, let me have a few pegs. I just love the use of the language. The descriptions off of Winter, he may live in the United States now. I don't think it Winter creeps in India the same way it creeps in here. But very well done.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I liked how as Winter creeps in, to me that seems like it's going to be, you know, it's not great, but obviously with the happy snowman, and then he just kind of went to all the great things. And I did love the bed becomes a best friend. I mean, there's nothing better than like kind of lying in bed when it's cold outside the bed and you're you never want to leave. So I like that part. Very cool. Aphasia to you, and I have to step away for 2 minutes. I will be right back. So I'm going to leave it in your hands for just 2 minutes.
Okay. I really enjoyed this. I liked the bed becomes the best friend. There is that urge to hibernate where it's just like everything seems cozier. When it's snowy outside, it's like you really appreciate those blankets more and like, you know, a comfy sweater or something that, I don't know, I kind of miss in the summer when it's too hot to have that. It's like comforting to have that weight around you, and your bed becomes that kind of friendly place when it's cold out. I liked the feathers from the sky as a description of the snow. That's a particular kind of snow when it's so light and fluffy and just beautiful. And I like that it pointed out, like, the kids playing, because there's something about, like, little kids that can really make the season stand out. And then talking about, like, hockey, I remember my dad always made us a rink, or actually later he took turns with the neighbors. Every 2 years we'd have a rink in our backyard, and the excitement of that as it transformed. The way that it talked about the teeth chattering also kind of gave us more senses in this, not just what you see or the temperature, but you have what you hear as the cold takes over. So it engaged a few senses and had kind of a light spirit to it that I thought matched the pictures. I believe, yes, here it is. We have Felon joining us. Hello, Felon. Oh, maybe it's not.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Hey, Felon.
My earphones are messed up. Hey.
Hey, so Felon. Hey, Felon.
Hey, Lauren. Hey, Dex.
So Dex actually is not here. We have Dan Deschino and Laurent and me, Afaziana. But we were still doing, cheers to Dex for his birthday. And don't apologize. I see you apologize on the board for being late. I'm just happy you're here, lady.
I'm the poor man's Dex, so you got me tonight.
Wasn't it Dan's birthday too?
What's that?
Isn't it his birthday as well?
Yes, Dex and I share birthdays on Sunday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna find where Dex is and we're gonna go out and have some beers somewhere. I'm gonna drive out there.
Yeah, definitely take the bath.
Road trip,
exactly. We'll
bring
get
him over here.
Shadow poetry. That's right. Ooh, we got Felon's poem on the board now.
We do. Felon, would you please grace us with your poem?
I will be more than honored. This is to Dan and Dex, and it goes like this. It's called Two Greats. Intelligence rings when speaking both names. Dex and Dan, they have mighty ink that can't be tamed. Dex caught me off guard when I heard his rapping skills. See, he has the bars, the spitting lines, 100%, he's the real deal. Dan challenged my thoughts on every poem I saw, words danced across the page, and got excited to see what he had brought. Poets with uniqueness of their very own, style marked in class, could never be cloned. Today, in my Felon way, I want to say happy birthday, end poem.
Oh, you guys are so sweet. That's a beautiful poem. I completely forgot you had mentioned before that you were going to do something about birthdays, but I didn't think it was going to be in here, so always embarrassed at that kind of stuff, but it's really beautiful. Thank you very much, Felon. I appreciate that,
absolutely.
Especially the compliments on there. And, yeah, beautifully written. I always love your poems. They're always fun, but they're always, like, just compositional-wise, I always think your poems are great. And as a musician myself and as somebody who's kind of started off with lyrical poems, that to me the way that they're framed, the phrasing, the syllables on each poem and the way each kind of stanza fits means something to me, and I always like the way you did yours. So great job. Thank you very much for taking that time out to do that.
Absolutely.
Laurent, you're over there somewhere. I think.
Yes, I am. He was chatting away with the mute button. Sorry about that. Yeah, Felon hits the mark with this. Two intelligent Dans, Dex and Dan. I like the way that she gives appreciation for his rapping skills, which I am not completely privy to. And I like the way you acknowledge that Dan challenges people's thoughts. And he really does that. They are unique poets. And you give them great praise. I like your poem. And I'll add my happy birthdays.
Thank you, Laurent. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurent. That's actually why I got into poetry, was to promote thought. And in my book, I actually even say that. I said this is to promote thought. So I'm always glad when that comes across. Faziana, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think she captured both of you because, yes, you always have very thought-provoking poems, and I'm always excited when you write in my contest because I know that it's going to be a thinker in a really great way. And she even says to get excited to see what he brought, and it's true. I'm always excited when I see your name in a contest. I don't always read everything right away. I just check, like, who's in my contest this week, and I'm like, yeah, Dan is in there. And then for Dex, yes, the rapping skills. You can buy his music. I have bought at least three of his songs on iTunes, and he's on Spotify. So just like, yeah, Dex. And for Fallon to compliment someone's rapping is a big deal because Fel herself is an excellent rapper. And I've recently discovered Stinger. Like, Fallon has been holding out on us. She entered a few of my contests with songs that she sang, and it was beautiful. And, like, she has, like, this jazziness to her voice. Like, seriously, Fel, love it. So for you to compliment someone's rapping is high praise, because that's how my girl, you can tell in the way that you write that you do, you have that cadence that that really lends itself to doing it out loud. Thank you for doing this tribute.
I didn't know that. I'm going to have to look for Fallon singing somewhere now. That's exciting. I've actually bought Dex's stuff as well, too. As well as, you know who also I bought, I haven't for a long time, is Budo. I have not heard from him in a while, and I actually bought a couple of his stuff on iTunes. He's worth it, too. But I haven't heard from him in a while.
Oh, yeah.
So interesting.
He's been around. He's in one of my music groups. He's not around as much anymore, but, yes, he's still kicking on AP. And I didn't know we could buy it, but, yes, I love Budo's voice. He has, like, the most relaxing, wonderful voice.
Yeah, Budo's on iTunes as well, too. I bought a couple of stuff. It's great. He's all original, plays guitar and everything. He's good.
Okay. I got to get those. I've had the honor of collaborating with Budo a couple of times, and obviously I cannot sing to keep up with him, but I'm like, I'm so proud. I'm like, he sang on one of my poems.
Oh, did he? Oh,
that's
cool.
Yeah.
I will plug myself for a second here. I'm actually on iTunes as well, too, under the band Terminal 51, so you can look up that.
I got to write this down, Terminal 51.
Yes, and as a poetry show, I will say that most of the lyrics are completely horrible. I did not write any of them. There's somebody else on there. But the music's pretty good. I mean, the music is okay. Some of the lyrics are okay. Some of them are but the music's good, so check it out.
Yeah, you're too humble. I'm sure it's awesome.
I didn't write the poem. I didn't write the poems. That's all I'm saying on that. But anyway,
Terminal 51.
Yeah, Turtle 51. Yes. All right. What do we got now?
Now we have one by Opti, and that one is, I think, Laurent. Would you like to read that one?
Yes, thank you. Winter Becomes Me by Opti. Summertime is wine. Spring is when I sing. Autumn can be the world that lives in me. But winter is when I die. Stormy wind and snow hibernate and I lie. Dark nights that don't engage hold me ransom. Nature's rage alone to be me. End quote.
Great read. That was good. And I really like this. I'm becoming a fan of Opti. He does a lot of my contests that I have, and I love how he kind of ties everything in. I felt bad when the last one that the Babbler actually had. I think it was about the color orange, and I did kind of the same thing, except I had like 500 words, and like the last two stanzas were about the color orange. But he actually comes around and he talks about, you know, how all the other seasons come in too. Here's the other seasons, but then here's winter. And, you know, winter is interesting. I can relate to you know, the day, at least in the northern hemisphere here, the day is getting shorter, right? And it getting colder and you're just not being as motivated. I'm very affected by the sun. When it's kind of mellow, when it's just cloudy out and it's dark out, like, not as up and ready to go. And you can kind of, you know, if you're in tune with kind of the world, I mean, the winter is kind of the time to hibernate. You can feel that in you. As much as it's fun to play in the snow and all that, you know, it's still like a quieter time. It's just the world has less energy, right, as opposed to like all the life in the spring. So I thought he captured this that beautifully in a small amount of words, which Opti does often. So awesome job. What about you, Fallon?
This is a great brevity. I think that he really did capture the actual season in itself. with summertime bringing the wine that's to be festive and being out and about with your friends, and how the spring makes you kind of sing because the coldness is going away and that new zip, you know, zippiness of the new season's coming in, and you're kind of maybe getting tapered down to maybe some a little bit of shorts or something like that, and enjoy the weather. And then autumn always brings out the best in me as well. I mean, because it's not hot, it's not cold, it's beautiful, and it's colorful. And I think that, you know, that's the world that lives in us. That's that moment when we have all those just great moments, I think. And then in winter, it does. It does kind of, you know, your blood slows down and, you know, everything slows down because it's cold. So I think he captured the way that our bodies respond to certain situations or certain weathers. I think that is just a remarkably intelligent, and just for to be a brevity as well, he knocked it out of the park. Great job.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. How about you, Laurent?
Well, it's really well done. Let me start off by saying that I appreciate a good brevity, and this is certainly one. The title "Winter Becomes Me," and if I was going to paraphrase that, I would have to say that, you know, winter suits me. Winter does all right by me. I like winter, and that seems kind of in conflict with the rest of the seasons. As Colin said, the summertime is wine, spring is when she sings. And I find it interesting that autumn can be the world that lives in me. What world lives in her? Autumn lives in her. Autumn is a slow process of dying, yet it's a wonderful time of year. But then she says, but winter is when I die. So, again, how can she die when winter becomes me? So, you know, there are physical responses to weather, to temperature, et cetera, but there are emotional responses as well. So when she says, dark nights that don't engage, either she doesn't engage well with night, or she doesn't engage well with other people, take your choice, they hold her ransom. Nature's rage, but then alone to be me, as if she can finally be who she is, alone in winter. So, you know, there are cross currents within this that I find very interesting. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. It always amazes me with, I think that's one of the harder things to do is to really say a lot in a brevity, you know, and when we give comments that are more words than this poem actually was, I always think that's the mark of really a true masterpiece, a really true great piece of work, which you've all done. So I thought this was great.
Mm-hmm.
Faziana, your thoughts on that?
I think when the title saying winter becomes me, it ends up being kind of the other way around, where it's she becomes winter, because it slows her down. She doesn't engage with the world as much anymore. She's held ransom. She's stuck in her house, kind of isolated, and it lets her be herself, because maybe naturally an introvert feels like when the sun is up, you got to go out and socialize and be active, and really you're just a bit of a homebody, and now that it's dark earlier, you feel like it's okay to just go home and do nothing. And it's like you become the darkness and the stillness, but maybe that's who you always were. It's
that's interesting. Yeah, absolutely. cool. No pun intended, me saying cool in the winter. So what do we want to do next?
Well, Laurent just said that he has to go, so I hope your legs feel better, and thank you so much for calling in. It was wonderful to have you read and comment. Good night.
Absolutely, yeah. Laurent, one of the greatest voices of all time on all poetry, let me tell you.
Yes. One of the first person I ever heard on this station, and it just, I was so intimidated to call because I'm like, he sounds so beautiful. How can I be on the same show as him? His voice is magnificent. And I could just listen to him like forever.
I think too, you know, I always get I used to always get compliments of my voice, and when I was writing poetry, I was like this. To me, this place is very humbling, which I always want to be in. And then I come on and I hear Laurent, and I hear Frank, and I hear I'm trying to think of other names. So many other voices, and I'm like, man, like the voices on the show, the performances and everything are just amazing, you know. And then yourself, I got to be honest, just to Afaziana and Felon, you guys, I could listen to you and Barrow. I listen to the whole show all the time. I wake up on Saturday mornings and I always listen to you guys. There's such great voices on here, you know, which Laurent is certainly one of them. But it's a humbling place being on here with all the great performances and the great poetry. Keeps you going.
It does.
Rest your legs, Laurent. And well, go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say rest your voice or rest your legs and just listen if you can, and we'll continue on, the three of us here.
Yes. And you do have a wonderful voice, Dan. You have, like, this deepness that I really envy because I have such a squeaky little mouse voice.
Do you really want a deep, manly voice, Afaziana? Is that really what you want? You don't want that.
Well,
you have a great
speaking voice.
I really
want it to be manly, but not, like, squeaky little... kid. People still ask me on the phone, they're like, is your mommy home? I'm like, no.
Oh, come on. Right. No, I don't think you're
honestly,
dumb,
I'm trying to, like, order pizza,
teacher.
And they're like, I want to talk to a grown-up.
Oh. Oh, my God, it's hilarious.
I don't think that's your voice. You sound like an adult, too. I don't think that's your voice. So people are just weird. Nobody likes their voice. I hate my voice. Nobody likes their voice. Everybody's critical of themselves when they look in the mirror, right? But, I mean, I hate listening to my own voice. I hate it. Everybody's always critical of themselves. We're all our worst critics, right?
Sure.
So, but anyway, yes, Laurent, one of the great voices on all poetry. So it looks like we have Steve Wellman next.
We do. Would you read that one for us, please?
Let's do it. Excuse me. Steve T. Wellman is called I Write. All is quiet. I hear a pin drop. Or was it a teardrop? Splashing softly on my page, running with the ink, dancing a silent, weeping waltz. I slip and slide into whimsical words. Graceful gestures paint my palette. Shadows on the hill sketch the melancholic metaphor. I catch the breeze and winter chills, fill the depths with my soul. A cold and callous rock, I throw it in the inkwell. Ripples reflect poetic expressions. I write to make a difference. I stop. I pause. I look out my window. A starry, starry night shines softly, silent in colors, or a snowy linen land. I pick up my pen and I write. End poem. How beautiful is this, huh? And just so poetic on the inspiration that all of you know, nature, all of the seasons, and everything can do to us. Felon, what do you think? Start with you.
Oh, I'm really taken back by this piece. I'm very envious of it, for one, the way that it was structured and each stanza could stand by itself alone. And I write, that is the perfect title, because I'm glad that he does write, because it's not a complexity, right? It's more simplistic, but that's what I like. I like simplicity, but it doesn't have to have a cadence, because the cadence is in the actual message that he's giving. And what really stood out the most to me is where, of course, the last stanza for me is, look out the window, a starry, starry night shines softly, silent in colors on a snowy linen hill land. I pick up my pen and I write, because he sort of he's mentioning Van Gogh in there, the Starry, Starry Night, you know, his the beauty that he had when picking up his, paintbrush. So I think this is a masterpiece in itself. So I'm glad he shared this with us, and it's just absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. I always like playing around with poetry and seeing it. And to me, the compositional I mentioned earlier, you can play around with the words and make it simple and shorten it, but still get the meaning. So if I read, like, all is quiet, I hear a pin drop, I look out my window, I pick up my pen, and I write. And that kind of reflects it. And I like when you can do that with poetry, when you can kind of mix and match and still get the meaning of it. And this is, yeah, just really, really beautiful. Wow. Stephen's always great. And I know you have some thoughts, Faziana, on this.
I do. I really love Stephen's writing. I know he's one of Dex's favorites, too. Great, great poet. I really loved the splashing softly on my page, that just imagining the tears going there. My favorite line is dancing a silent weeping waltz, because picturing the ink and the teardrop kind of like moving around, that little bit of water spreading the ink in that movement. As I'm talking, I'm moving my hands around. I'm like, oh yeah, they can't see this, but I was doing this cool little movement thing of the ink. Just imagine I'm gracefully dancing around my room. although I'm not graceful at all, the poem certainly is. I slip and slide into whimsical words. Love that line too. And then the idea of the soul being this cold and calloused rock that is thrown into the inkwell. Like, I've heard of, like, the heart being cold or callous, but the idea of the soul being a rock, I like. And that when you throw that in the inkwell and the ink splatters out, then that is where you leave your impression. I write to make a difference. And I think he really does, you know. I think he has a lot of poems that have big impact. And sometimes you got to throw the hard parts of you. Okay, this is sounding dirty when I don't want it to. So you got to put your shell into your writing and open up, and those parts that maybe hurt or are vulnerable end up being something that helps other people. Then, where is it? I pick up my pen and I write. And I think it was Phil who said, to test out a poem, read the first and last line of each stanza. So, all is quiet, dancing a silent weeping waltz. I slip and slide into whimsical words. Fill the depths with my soul, a cold and calloused rock. I pause, I look out my window, and I write. It works. It works just using those lines. It's so much better when you have the whole thing. But it passes Phil's test of read the condensed version, and it still has so much depth.
Yeah, absolutely. Compositional-wise, it's great. Stephen's always good. But as much as we love Stephen, we actually, believe it or not, only have a half an hour left, so we should probably get to some more poetry.
This is true. So I'm going to read one by Bluebeater One, and this is called Would You Want Winter? And this is to a new prompt. It is the snowman who is laying on his side with his arm or his hand on his hip, kind of suggestively. Would You Want Winter? By Bluebeater One. The world is white, the whole wide world. It is cold, it is bright, reflected light from a billion tiny mirrors. The sky is white, mixed with soft grays. The sun is a diffused white, with a hint of yellow. The world is still, as if it's in that moment just before it takes a breath. I'm still, watching silently with intent. I see you from under the thousand layers you carry. Your eyes, they laugh at me. I don't mind. I say to you softly, anything you want, anything I can give you, everything a kiss can bring, just reach out to me to say you will. I will give you all this world and its power and its sin. Give it all to you. Just reach out. Take my hand. I'll lead you to the fire. and Paul.
And you said you didn't have a good voice. You need to like record that for me so I can listen to it over and over again. That was beautiful. So yeah, this was great. I enjoyed this a lot. Really interesting, as Blue Leader does a lot and has kind of multiple layers on here. Where was it? So I like how it went. The world is white. The whole wide world. It's cold. It's bright. And it's kind of, she's kind of making herself almost that winter world, and then she's kind of becoming it to them. So she's got this romantic part of it, but I also like the underlying of just winter itself. And I really love the billion tiny mirrors, reflected light from a billion tiny mirrors. Poets can always see things differently, right? And I notice that sometimes on the freshly fallen snow, you go out there and you just see white, but if you really look closely, you see the tiny little, you know, just sparkles all over the place. Sometimes if the snow is powdery, if the sun hits it right, and it's all the little snowflakes just kind of bouncing off and dancing at you, which is really interesting. And then that stillness, it really, you know, after a snowstorm, you go out there, it really is still. You know, one of the things that I've never been there, but if you go way up into the north, into the Arctic, it's just, there's times when there's just no noise. In fact, I've always heard that hunters, they're very susceptible up in the north to tinnitus, because that's when you get tinnitus. It's not necessarily loud noise. It's instant loud noise. It's going from nothing to bang. And you're up in the middle of nowhere up there where there's just no noise, there's just nothing. When it's still wind and you just have the snow and it's really quiet, and all of a sudden you do your you shoot a gun. But anyway, I'm rambling on, but this is beautiful. Loved it. Felon, gonna go to you.
Oh, absolutely. I actually seen the same thing that you saw. It's like a double entendre here, because not only was she speaking, I think, of just what she can bring as far as reflections of herself, that what reflects winter and the actual snowflakes of the uniqueness is not one alike, they say, and that they are crystallized. It's a frozen, like a little icicle, and if you really look, you can actually see a reflection of something if it made a hole. And but what really stuck out the most for me is the last stanza as well, too. Anything you want, anything I can give you, everything a kiss can bring, just reach out to me. Just say you will. I will give you all the world and its power and its sin. Give it all to you. Just reach out. Take my hand, and I'll lead you to the fire. To me, it's almost like winter saying, I will kiss you with the beauty of making time stand still, within just making everything all white and pretty and pristine. And then to get warmth, I will bring you to a fire that, you know, because to me, that's just a nice little cuddly, fuzzy moment, as being by the fire when it's cold outside. And then, yet at the same time, that's her too. She can be cold, but if you was to actually accept who she is and take her hand, she can also bring the warmth. So this is just absolutely stunning work. Enjoyed it a great deal.
I agree. And I agreed with Faziana's take on Phil's theories. I've always looked at poems like that as well too. I'm going to take a second and do a different type of theory. All the first lines and all the last lines. All the first lines in this say, the world is white, it's cold. The sky is white, the world is still. I'm still, I see you, I say to you softly, anything you want. How great is that? The last lines are, the whole wide world, from a billion tiny mirrors with a hint of yellow, just before it takes a breath, with intent. I don't mind, I say to you softly, I'll lead you to the fire. There's two other poems right there within them. But this one multiple passes the tests different ways. What do you think about that, Faziana?
I love it, especially the one that's all the last lines. That was awesome. Like, it worked so well.
It really does. It's amazing. I don't know if she – I'm the next poem I write, I'm going to have to purposely do that now and see. I've never really – I've known the theory. I've never really paid attention, but now I'm overly inspired.
Yes. I like, wow, I don't know if she tries to do that. Actually, I don't even know if she's a she. Blue Leader 1, I've always pictured as a woman for some reason, but I have no reason to say that. So, they, I think that they are amazing at making that work. I like the line that both of you talked about, the billion tiny mirrors. Loved that. And the just the description of as if it's that moment just before it takes a breath, that stillness. And then it gets really sexy in the last stanza. And I really liked the last line too, I'll lead you to the fire. I thought this whole thing was wonderful. You know, a very dignified response to kind of a silly photo or painting. It worked really nicely. It got, like, the gist of it, but it did it in such a classier way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We definitely get time for more. What do you want to do?
All right. So we have Snow by Maharsha Lani. And is it Felon's turn to read, I think?
Well, I think it is.
Okay, Felon, go for it.
All right. I hate that. And it's called Snow. Snow is like frost desires, but also hate. It's ice that burns. It covers yards and walks entire. And every gap in boots disconcerns. When I was young, I first discovered that when I was the world of crystal covered, it was a world which, unlike rain, delivered equal joy and pain. These are no defects or dismisses. The quilted, tilted, and the pillowed drift. As one of the nature's finest gifts to unreaped leaves and naked birches, I gladly pay the winter price to see the earth enclosed in ice and poem.
Great read. Great read. What are your thoughts, Faziana?
I love it. I love that it has the contrast between the excitement of the frost and the danger of it. Ice that burns, you know, it seems like a contrast, ice burning, but it really does burn. If you've had frostbite or even, like, close to frostbite, it does burn. It feels like your hands and your cheeks are on fire when it's that cold wind. I have definitely had that burning kind of cold, and it leaves, like, your skin actually red, almost like a sunburn, even if it's not so bad that it's, like, you're actually getting real frostbite where it's different. But that redness, it really does burn you. And every gap in boots discerns, you can feel if there's that little bit between, even if you have boots that are in good shape, the little bit between your boot and your pants, if your socks have kind of slipped underneath, which always seems to happen to me, where it's like your sock is stuck down in your boot in an uncomfortable lump, and there's that tiny little bit of skin in between your boot and your leg, that is a noticeable spot. You are very aware of that spot the whole walk. And yet, it's so beautiful, the way that it's crystal covered, especially when it's, like, really fresh and nobody's stepped on it yet. There is no defect that besmirched the quilted, tilted, pillowed drifts. When it's talking about drifts, there's, like, sometimes when the wind makes the snow go, it looks like a wave on the ocean, but it's still, it stays like that, and it's just absolutely gorgeous and so smooth that it's just breathtaking. And that is why I gladly pay the winter price to see this earth enclosed in ice. Yes, it can be really cold and uncomfortable, but I go for hikes in the winter because it's also a time where nature looks amazing. I love going for winter hikes where you get to see the way that it lines the trees. It's this beautiful little outline of crystal, just gorgeous. I think that this poet really captured that beauty.
Yeah, I agree. And she wrote it in iambic tetrameter, and she's got the in her author's notes has the rhyming scheme there, which did a great job. It comes to mind a story that my wife and I were younger many years ago. I can't remember, in the probably the 80s, late 80s. We're in Manchester, Vermont, and we heard that there was this waterfall on this down this path, and it was the winter. And we're like, all right, let's just go for a walk in there. And I remember we had boots, we had whatever, we had stuff, but not, we weren't 100% dressed. And at one point we're going, and I'm 6'4", I'm a big guy, and the snow was literally up to my waist, and we're on this almost cliff edge and walking, and partly, we were like half an hour now into this walk, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, they're gonna find our bodies, like, in the spring. Like, we're never getting out of here. I don't know what we were thinking. But we kind of kept going, and when we got to the end, it was a frozen waterfall, and it was just one of the most, you know, amazing things I had ever seen. I'd never seen a frozen waterfall before, and it was just like something out of you know, Tolkien, out of a fairy tale. It was a whole frozen pond with an actual the waterfall was actually frozen down it, and it was totally worth that. So that I think about that little trip I made, and then standing there going like, we have to walk all the way back through this thing that I didn't think we were actually going to make. You know, it's one of those things when you look back and go, man, was I like, why did I do that? That was, you know, if I had fallen off this little cliff face here, you know, I might never have made it back, but you know, it was worth that beauty to see at the end. So yeah, I like the play. And I did like the ice that burns. If you've ever actually been burnt by fire or been frozen by ice, the first like 2 seconds of both of those things feel exactly the same. It's kind of interesting. And frostbite does really burn. So that's what it all brought to mind to me. How about you, Felon?
I have to agree with you on the ice burn. There is such a thing. It's called ice burn. I've only treated it twice in the field. And it's frost nip, and then it comes to frostbite. But it also mimics that of a burn because it turns red. Then it can also blister, and as well as what we call the oblique of the blotchiness of the skin becomes white, just like a burn, and it affects the actual the nerves and the numbness and the uses of that, and you can lose it just like you do. And they also have the same levels, you know, frostbite 1, 2, 3, and 4, just like, you know, burns, the full thickness to moderate thickness and such. So, but yeah, I like how she really touched on the fact that, you know, snow is a beautiful, but at the same time, it's got a double-edged sword. I mean, there's beauty about it, but there's also danger. If you don't, you know, respect Mother Nature, Mother Nature will smack the crap out of you, or burn the crap out of you, whatever they want to put it. But this is actually a beautiful poem, and I really like where this is, you know, there's no defect in the dismissions of the quilted, tilted, and the pillow drifted. That was spot on, a wonderful cadence to that, and to me, a wonderful brevity, and I'm glad I got to read it.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Felon. And,
I like what you had to say. Well, both of you loved your comments, but Dan, when you were talking about your hiking, I totally get that. My medieval group goes on these bike hikes where you dress up like Vikings and you go through the snow, or not necessarily snow, but whatever temperature it is, no matter what it's like outside. And we were looking also for some frozen well, I guess there was a little bit of a waterfall, but it was mostly like this river. It was gorgeous, but I am a lot more of a fraidy cat than my friends. And they decided to go out on the river and sword fight.
Oh, Lord.
So there were definitely some swords that fell through into the water, and some people that went after them. Everything was okay, but I was just, I always think about that, where I'm like the scaredy cat, like clinging to the edge, like just barely, like not able to stand at all, and other people are like literally like battling, just gliding across the ice. And yet somehow I'm always the one who gets hurt. It's just I don't know how I manage it.
Yeah, I've never luckily gone on the frozen water. That doesn't sound that to me always sounds a little, you know, not the brightest thing. But I've been close before. But the story I told you there. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere, like, you know, Vermont. You know, there's just nobody's here. Nobody probably goes down this path. Like, nobody would see us remotely. It was just kind of a silly thing. You know, I have people that work for me in Canada. You're in Canada. I know. I have people that work for me up in Edmonton and Calgary and those places, and they say, like, every week in the summertime, there's some tourist that gets lost because they think it's like a path. Like, where I live in the city, it is like little paths. No, it's the woods. You go 1,000 miles in one direction before you hit civilization, you know?
We do lose a lot of tourists. You got to be careful.
Yeah. Tourists or somebody, oh, that bear's really cute. No, he's not really cute.
No, but that happens all the time.
Like,
we have signs, do not approach the bears, and people do it.
Right. Well, they look like they're cute, but they're not cute. They want to eat you, you know.
Actually, the thing that ends up killing everyone is the elk, which they're not violent except for if you get in between them when they're rutting. And then, those antlers can be scary. So this next poem to the same prompt is by AJ Calvano. And, Dan, I'm going to get you to do it.
Let's do it. AJ Calvano, wake me up when global warming ends. Come here, you know they say life is short. They say you wake up one day and you don't even recognize yourself in the icicles anymore. They say, on that day, they say everything you wished for, the Humpty Hump humps, the dreams, everything is gone. You know, Antarctica is disappearing. Nobody recycles. The amount of water in the world is stagnant. But it's all about where this water is, including our bodies. So we're literally running out of water, you know? What I want right now is for this moment right now to change for the better, and my feelings for this will always stay the same, you know? End poem. So, yeah, this is definitely interesting. You know, I actually had a tree guy at my house today to prune the trees, and we got specifically somebody who was a naturalist. We didn't just get a tree service. We wanted somebody who actually cares about the health of the tree. And it's funny, I was talking about this one tree I have in my yard, and you know, this is something I've noticed, and he said the seasons have no idea what they're doing anymore. He says, you know, you don't know what season it is. You don't want know what everything's changing, which I've noticed that we have in my town. We have, and you guys got to stop me because I'll talk about this for the next 4 hours. So I'll try to keep it brief. But we have yard waste pickup. So like the town actually comes and picks up like your leaf bags and those things. Well, they stop on December 3rd, but we still had leaves on the trees. Because it's so the seasons are so messed up right now, and the bad part about it is the trees don't know what to do about it. My wife was noticing that just a couple of weeks ago there were trees that had lost their leaves that started budding because it was warm again. So it kind of thought it was spring, and then it went back again, and it's really bad for the trees. The naturalist that was here today was telling us that he's never seen a drought like this in New England that we've had over the last couple of years. And it's bad. Like, I've noticed the trees around here being really bad, and I actually water my trees just to keep them healthy. That kind of stuff is scary, and it is one of those things that you wish you could just wake up and it's kind of over. You know, I'm not the doom and gloomer that some people are. I do think that we're in trouble, but I don't think, like, you know, it's going to be like the movie Waterworld, if you've ever seen that, which is actually a pretty good movie. I think we can save it. We just have to kind of start now. And I really do see it in my son's generation, not just my son, but I think that generation, the 28-year-olds and younger, do have a consciousness of it. And we'll hopefully, fix what we've done. But, I've just seen so many different things about how everything's changing, the waters in different parts of the world where fish are going different places. And, that's really interesting. So anyway, I'm sorry. I will stop now because I'll talk about environment and stuff all day. Fallon, your thoughts.
Oh, I'm really taken back by this. AJ did a remarkable right here, because for what I see him capturing is the fact that our bodies change, and so does our Mother Earth. You know, it's never the same. I mean, the Earth is always evolving to adapt to what it needs to adapt to, and that's, you know, basically it's an abuse of our world that we do. We are taken for granted for what we have before us, and we sometimes try to, you know, realign it to be a certain look we want, and take away the beauty that it gives us. So, and I think that's what he's saying about himself, is that sometimes we don't hydrate ourselves enough, and that our bodies change from the simple fact of neglect that we do to ourselves. So for him to capture that and just such small words, so little words, was just remarkable. I'm just like taken really back by this. This is, I think it's the best piece I think he's ever wrote for me personally. So, wow, way to go, AJ.
Yeah, it's interesting how AJ said the water in the world is stagnant, which is true, but it's where the water actually is, right? Is it frozen some places, or where is the water?
Right.
Very interesting. And the only thing I disagree with is that nobody recycles, because people do recycle. I know a lot of people don't, so I understand where AJ is coming from. But the problem is that recycling doesn't do anything anymore. Most recycling just ends up in landfill anyway, because they can't fit it. The company I work for actually does recycling, and we pay for that because most recycling plants in most countries are recycling. They just turn it away. They can't handle it anymore. It's too much, so it just ends up in landfill. It's sad, unfortunately. But Afasiata, you were going to say something a minute ago.
I need to correct myself, because I said this was to the same prompt as the last one, and it wasn't. It's to the one where it's the picture of a snowman who's fallen into pieces and is melting.
Yes.
And he has, I think it's a pot, like a cooking pot, as his hat. But maybe it's just a hat. But the snowman is frowning, and he's broken up into pieces on a green lawn. So I feel like that really does connect to global warming. I think it's clever the way he references songs. So the title, Wake Me Up When Global Warming Ends, I think that's a reference to Wake Me Up When September Ends, which I think is Green Day,
yes.
But I'm terrible. Yeah, okay.
It is Green Day, yes.
And then when it says the humpity hump humps, that made me think of Frosty the Snowman. So humpity hump hump, humpity hump hump, look at Frosty go. So everything you wish for, the humpity hump humps of, like, all the fun that you expected to have when you were a snowman who came alive, you miss that. And you don't recognize yourself in the icicles anymore. You don't recognize yourself in the mirror. I like that he used icicles as the mirror. And then, yeah, it's the serious subject matter of everything is changing. For us, we're noticing the birds are not migrating because things don't change at the same time. And then we have problems with the birds can't actually handle it when it gets cold. But because they had food at a certain point where they normally would migrate, which is partly because people feed them when they shouldn't, then they don't migrate and they freeze to death. Or they get taken in by humans and don't know how to live in the wild anymore. So it's definitely a changing thing that is very serious, and I think he captures it. But I agree with you, Dan, in that people do recycle. I'm definitely where I am. Everyone's, like, militant about recycling, and we now have compost pickup more than garbage. We're allowed compost pickup every week, and garbage pickup only every second week with a smaller container than we used to have. So you basically have to compost and to recycle, because they'll take unlimited compost and recycling, but your garbage, if you have more than that little can, you got to pay. So there, it's quite adamant you do it, which is good as long as it's getting processed properly, like you said. And
well,
I am blathered on.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
We have to. I was just gonna say we pay $2 a bag to throw stuff away, and they do, at least in Malden where I live, they don't use plastic bags. Are actually outlawed. Like, you can't, stores can't do them. But it's funny because I live right on the border of Malden and Everett. In Everett, they do have plastic bags, but there's places that are not doing it. So the world is starting to change, not fast enough. I get all that. But I think we'll recycle it. This quote isn't funny, but it's true and it is funny. George Carlin always said, we're all worried about the environment, worry about the world. The environment's fine. The world is fine. We're screwed. the world will survive. The world will take care of this. We're the ones that are going to be in trouble. You know, the world will come back from this. So that's the sad part is that, if we screw ourselves with this, the world will heal. I saw, in fact, it's funny, when the pandemic came, I don't know if you noticed, but the ozone layer actually healed itself. And there was just in the first year when the pandemic hit, when people weren't driving cars, the air quality was better. I actually saw within a few months, I saw animals like everywhere when there wasn't people around. It's just amazing how fast things can heal if we just let that happen. All right, enough. We have more poetry. I'm sorry that I wasn't rambling. Keep going.
No, I was following that as well, and it was amazing how much nature bounced back, and it showed like what we are capable of doing. So it gave me hope, but I was sad how quickly we reverted back to our old ways.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have a poem now called Where Then, and I can't remember whose turn it is to read.
I think it's yours.
Okay. Coming Soon by Where Then. The long locked-in days, the hurly-burly whipping snow right against the window. I've tried it all. I've gone up to the top of the mountain. I've skied all day. I've lost 20 kilos. Then home again to the lost and lonely kingdom, the palace of me, longing for your snow fort, with a cardboard roof and long-lit tunnels in the afternoon sun in the backyard, in a snowsuit, and all of us young, and Mom telling me at the door, I can't come in yet. End poem.
Great read. Very interesting. What are your thoughts, Bellin?
Oh, I like it. This reminds me, well, here in the South, we don't get snow. We get a little bit of ice, but that's about it, and everybody loses their freaking minds. I gotta get water. I'm gonna go get milk and bread. I'm like, golly, what are you gonna do with the milk and bread? Please tell me. I've never figured it out, but yeah, that's how crazy they get here. But it's just the whimsical part of this, then home again to the lost and the lonely kingdom, the palace of me, longing for the snow fort. Here he is, this child, it's him talking about losing the 20 kilos, and I guess that's all of the weighted clothing protective, and then also the being, weighted down by snow, I don't know. I've never really been in snow, so I'm just presuming on that. But yet, this is just absolutely just whimsical to me, and just brings back some childhood memories of some other things. This is Mom telling me at the door, can't come in yet because the light ain't come on the outside light. When it comes on, you can come in. Other than that, stay outside. That's what kids did back then. They didn't stay inside. So excellent, excellent, right.
That is true. I purposely made snow forts when I was a kid, and now I have no choice but to basically make a snow fort when I'm shoveling. So different perspectives in the age of snow. Faziana, your thoughts?
This definitely has a nostalgic feel to it. I liked the wording of hurly-burly whipping snow and that idea of the snow forts. We used to have them all the time when I was a kid, and then I watched this movie that was like the dog that ended the war or something like that, and it was these two neighborhoods were fighting with snowball fights, and then they had a bridge in between them, like a homemade bridge, like a snow fort bridge, and this dog who gets smushed because the snow falls apart during their snowball fight. And I was always afraid to go in any snow forts after that because I'm like, that's how the dog died. Just totally ruined it. But the snow forts back before I was a scaredy cat and obsessed with that movie were really fun. And I like that it's the palace of me longing for your snow fort. So there's this palace within themselves, too, of that place where they like to imagine what it was like there. And there's a connection there, not just a snow fort, but your snow fort, the snow fort where they played together. And then the like the details of a cardboard roof the snowsuit where you're like twice your size and you're all like poofed up. And, yeah, mom telling you to go. You can't come in yet. Go play some more. It's something that doesn't happen as much anymore and really brings me back to my childhood and makes me feel old.
Yeah. I told you how old I was earlier. You're not old yet, Aphasiana. Relax. I want to call out Felon for intelligence here, where she said, you know, it's really recycling happens at home. You know, we purchase products that are environmental, and you know use containers at home for drinks. You know, don't use paper products. Use glass dishes, linen for cleanups, and that type of things. And she's absolutely right. You know, the old school stuff of storing things in bulk and, you know, not wasting and reusing as best you can at home and all of that. I've actually been using partly because my dryer is broken, but also because I actually like still using a line. So I use a line with clothespins, which saves gas and electricity and things like that. And I actually like it. So there's a lot of things that we can all do to help. Anyway, we have 4 minutes left. What would you like to do? Do you want to squeeze one in, or should we call it? You're totally your call.
I don't think we have time because it's a Peter Solway piece, and he tends to have very long poems. So we're going to carry over that one because not only are they long, he's always very complicated, and we're going to need half an hour to talk about it.
Yes, exactly.
Which is a good thing, you know. I'm not criticizing him because I definitely would spark conversation, but I don't want to have to try to squeeze that conversation into just 4 minutes.
No, but I read it. It's not that complicated this time. It's actually pretty good.
Is it? You think it's one we can fit in?
No, we can't fit it in, but, I mean, it's not as complicated as normal. But it's
oh,
still,
okay.
Like,
sometimes I feel like I need to take a whole class on just understanding his poem because he's a witty one. In half an hour, there's a show with Pam and Rex. If Pam has got her technology worked out, I know she had no power earlier.
Okay.
So hopefully she's got that going. The storm has ended. Tomorrow we have the earlier show is Fill My Eyes, and that's open poetry. And then the late show, which officially is Saturday morning, although for me it's still Friday, is Part Sinner, Part Saint with me and Babbler. And we're doing her contest, part of her rainbow series, Green. So we have a whole bunch of poems inspired by Green, metaphorically, and different prompts that she had that somehow related to green. We get quite a variety in response to these color prompts, so it should be interesting for sure. So Dan, I hope you have a wonderful birthday this weekend, and Dexter, if you're listening, same to you, happy birthday. Thanks for calling.
Yes, happy birthday, Dylan. Thanks,
absolutely. Fellas. Absolutely.
Thank you,
Laura. Peace and happiness, everybody. And thank you, Aphasiana, best hostess ever.
I don't know about that, but thanks.
Well, very sweet with all the birthday stuff. I really appreciate it. It was very nice. You made my day. You were the bright sunshine on an otherwise cloudy day today, so I really appreciate that.
Oh, well, I'm glad. Have a great week.
Felon, you... And then thanks again, Felon, for calling in. Thank you. And, Laurent, earlier. So we'll see you all, everybody, later.